I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're back, and David Hammer, WWL TV investigative reporter, joins us to give us the latest on the Hard Rock Hotel collapse. And now there seems to be another spin with the inspectors. David, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Newell, as always.
So what does the most recent report reveal?
Yeah, well, these inspectors, we've known for a little bit now that this safety and permits office, where the inspectors go out and do the inspections on major construction projects and even on residential projects, that they have a problem with corruption, that there are payoffs and falsified inspection reports, because there was a inspector who left the city in 2015 who was convicted last year of taking $65,000 in bribes. And we knew that that criminal investigation was also taking in the Hard Rock collapse and looking at that as a part of that larger investigation of the Safety and Permits Department. But now we're seeing specifically how inspectors may have falsified reports or participated in some of that corruption, because we see that there are inspectors who are doing, who say that they're doing inspections, but their GPS units in their vehicles are showing that they're nowhere near the Hard Rock on those days. I've reported that some of them were doing inspections with only residential certifications, meaning they'd only gotten trained to look at residential projects or buildings under 3 stories tall, and here they are inspecting a major skyscraper, you know, 18-story high-rise, maybe not a skyscraper, but a high-rise. And, you know, there's just starting to come a clearer picture of, you know, city inspectors who are responsible for making sure that this job was being done safely, not doing that job.
David, you know as well as I, you deploy this GPS technology as a management tool, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, they did that just last year.
And have you found, or was there a request made to see, you know, is anybody reviewing that and marrying up where there allegedly are to these reports that have been done, or is it just being done as a result of this investigation?
Right. It appears that it's just being done as a result of the investigation, because the city was aware of the investigation last year when they started implementing the GPS tracking. How much they were actually tracking it, even after they implemented the GPS tracking units in the vehicles, is a big point of concern right now, because it's clear that there was data right there in front of their noses that these inspectors were not always going to the site at the Hard Rock specifically, and potentially multiple other ones as well, and they didn't take action before tragedy struck. And of course, you know, hindsight is 20/20, but that's going to be a key part of this investigation.
But, you know, this is the classic example. You and I have talked about this both online and offline, about deploying technology for the sake of deploying technology and not weaving it into the organization operationally so it's in fact meaningful. You know, so you expend these dollars for a purpose. GPS tracking is so that, you know, the trucking industry uses it religiously. So they want to know where you are, how long you're there, and everything else, and marry that up to if you're filling out a trip sheet or a daily activity sheet as to where you've been. And, you know, that's one other, you know, oversight validation that what you say you're doing during the day is in fact validated by GPS. But obviously, it seems to me that nobody's done it. Nobody's doing it. And we spent for what purpose?
Right. There are clear indications that it wasn't like they put in this new technology and then they were watching it like a hawk. That they put in the new technology and they weren't always checking on it. And then retroactively, they're saying, hey, you got to follow this. You got to actually do this. You've got to, you know, file your reports in the proper manner. You got to establish that you were actually there. So it appears that after it came out publicly that there was this criminal investigation, it was only after that that they started taking this kind of monitoring process more seriously.
So how long have they known?
How long have they known about the GPS not matching up?
Yeah.
That's a good question, because I specifically asked about Julie Tweeter's October 1st inspection back in October. On October 31st, I actually made that request from the city, and on November 5th, I received an answer saying that that inspection was done. Then later, we get the GPS data that seems to indicate pretty clearly that it was not done physically, that she was not on site that day. So I've asked specifically when they realized this, and their answers have basically been this will be part of the investigation.
So you and I discussed this issue as to whether or not the oversight authority that the legislative branch, namely the council, had as it relates to them conducting hearings on the Hard Rock. And right. There seemed to be a problem. The inspector general thought that they could, you know, be an impediment to the investigation. During that same or in advance of that, it was revealed that a Philadelphia law firm had been hired to conduct an internal investigation. Originally, the IG did not really opine on that, and now has ultimately come out and said, well, this could be a problem as well. So where are we on
right.
that?
Well, the internal investigation, if you want to call it that, they call it external by bringing in Kenneth Poleet and his firm to look at it. That is continuing, and it appears that that investigation has uncovered some of these issues that we've been discussing about the inspectors and what they were doing. But it's only it's only relevant if it ends up being acted upon, just like the realization that you need GPS to track these guys. So they're continuing with that in spite of the admonition from the inspector general not to get in the way.
Have they indicated that they've actually conducted interviews or of their employees?
They haven't.
They have not.
They haven't officially indicated it, but they have.
So we know that they actually have talked to these folks?
That's the information I'm getting.
So therein lies the problem. So anything that you get from an administrative investigation without having read them their rights ultimately may not be able to be used in a criminal prosecution. And that's what we mean by being an impediment. And has anyone been able to square that up? Because obviously when the spokesperson for the city has all of this information and is aware of it, that gets to be even more problematic.
Well, that's an interesting question. And, you know, I don't know where that stands and how it would relate to the ongoing criminal investigation. But that's, you know, that's an interesting point.
One of the things that you brought to the forefront as well is that allegedly this procurement of this Philadelphia law firm was not about the Hard Rock. Now we're finding out that it could possibly be about the Hard Rock, and now you're telling us that they are actively investigating the Hard Rock. Those services were procured under an emergency declaration by the mayor. So have we resolved one way or the other? Is it or is it not about the Hard Rock?
They've been very clear after we started asking questions to that effect that it is partially about the Hard Rock, that it was established and the intent to bring Mr. Poleet in to look at this predates the Hard Rock, but that as soon as the Hard Rock happened, they quickly moved to bring him in officially and have a contract, and that was part of his scope to look at it. And I pointed out that there were documents to that effect, that this was part of a Hard Rock investigation. They've acknowledged that that's part of it, but that it continues to be a much larger look at the corruption allegations inside that safety and permits office.
Interestingly, I had an inspector call the show yesterday, and I was left with the impression that they're only scratching the surface. And that this has been going on for years. And this certification, he did not say that word. I think he was being a little intentionally vague. But you had people that were doing things that they should not have been doing because they didn't have the expertise to do it.
Well, I'll have some more on that. That's definitely a part of this, no doubt about it.
And that story will be running when?
Yes. Today.
Today. Tonight? 10?
Yes. How about 5 o'clock?
At 5 o'clock? Okay. Well, we'll look forward to that. And the only other observation I have, David, is that the city probably ought to hire you to just start conducting investigations. Because when you do, a lot of information comes out. So.
It's important to be independent when you do these investigations.
They might want to work out a deal with management over there and get you over there and start looking at things. But anyway.
That's above my pay grade.
David Hammer, thank you so much for the time. I know you're busy, and I know you're working on other stories, too. So we really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Noel.
All righty. We'll be right back after the break. 260-1870 or text 870-870. I kind of say that tongue-in-cheek, but it's just amazing how this works. Couple of public records requests, couple of questions, couple of interviews here or there, and the next thing you know, there's a waterfall of information dropping off the cliff. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.